And this scripture is from John 20, 19 to 22. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Mia, Sean.
Okay, just a little background on the scripture that Randy just read. That was actually our theme scripture while at convention, so we listened to it twice a day, once in the morning for the worship service and once in the afternoon. They had it displayed on the screen, kind of had an artistic flair going on. And I think about once a day, they would actually put it up in a different language, so it was not always in English, which was kind of neat. So first off, I just want to say thank you guys so much on the behalf of me and Sean for all the support and prayers that you guys gave to us while we were at convention. Sean kind of wanted to get his piece out of the way, so we're going to go with his first, and he's going to give a little background on what his first time at convention was like. I'm going to ask him four questions, and he will answer. So what did you like most about the worship services?
Okay, so I like the singing part because, I mean, that was the bulk of the time is, like, probably 3/4 singing and 1/4, like, rest of the stuff. And I liked it because there's a lot of energy and there's some new songs I thought were pretty cool. But I don't remember any of them, so, yeah.
What session do you remember the most and why?
Okay, so one session I remember the most was the one on finding your identity. I thought it was interesting and also it was kind of funny. The guy talked about, like, what is the point in life, and he would, like, pick on different people and wait for them to answer wrong and then correct them every time. It's kind of funny. And his conclusion on what your life is for is just, like, mostly to be a child of God and, like, spread the peace and stuff. So, yeah.
And then what was your service project and what day did you do your service project?
Oh, well, I don't remember what day it was. I think it was the second day.
It was
but
Wednesday.
What?
But you did it on Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday. Okay. So my service project was working in, like, a local garden for, like, a bunch of people, like, use it. And so it was kind of, like, really, really messy. There's tons of weeds and stuff. So there's a lot of people picking weeds and stuff, but that wasn't the part I did. The lady wanted, like, the ground leveled out because it was kind of bumpy because there's apparently a lot of elderly that worked in that garden. So we were leveling out the ground. We also had to move a stump that they said was already removed, but we found even more. So that was fun. Yeah.
And then last question. Was there any funny moments while you were at convention?
Yes. So on the way there on the airport before we flew, my luggage broke, like, the handle that extends so you can roll it broke, so I had to carry my luggage everywhere. So, yeah. It's the one that my dad bought. I think it was used, so, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, Sean. Okay, so while I was preparing to share with you guys what all I had taken at convention, I was going over my notes over again and again, because I actually did take quite a few notes while at convention, but I tried to sum it down some, but I'm sure this could be a lot longer than 20, 25 minutes if I could share extensively on each and every day that I was there. So I arrived on Tuesday, kind of before everything started, and one of the first things that I did was actually go to a hymn sing at, I think it was at 4 o'clock, and this was a special hymn sing as they were previewing, or have, we got a preview of the new hymn book that is coming out called Voices Together. So a bunch of us just gathered and sang songs from this new hymn book. Some were old and some were new. And then later on, we had the first evening worship service, and that was kind of titled a Mennonite Family Reunion, and that was basically just welcoming everybody to convention and getting ready to see what the week held for us. Glenn Guyton was the one who, we kind of focused on diversity, and he was actually one of our first speakers. That evening, we didn't have one big main speaker. As Sean said, a majority of the time, we were doing a lot of singing, and speakers were only a little portion of the time. So we focused on diversity, and he acknowledged that the group that was with us that evening, and who would be with us throughout the week, was a very diverse group. And his kind of main point was that we could be a united group, even with all the diversity. And one of the activities we actually did that first evening was we had to find somebody in the arena and make up a handshake with them. It had to be 5 beats. And this was kind of just to signify meeting new people. And it was kind of, you know, when you first meet somebody, the first thing you usually do is you give them a handshake. But we just kind of took it up a notch and were creative with it. Then Wednesday always started out with a delegate session in the morning. So Tom Yoder Neufeld was our speaker, and he spoke pretty much every morning, and usually then somebody else spoke in the afternoon. One of the first things he had us say in our first time together was, "The church is a mess. Thanks be to God." And that is something that we did, I think, about every single morning, either at the beginning or at the end. And so in that morning session, we talked about how God was desperately trying to gather all of his people and bring them together. And that when God really starts to move and starts to gather people, we are not equipped to deal with that. We just kind of have to go with the flow. We talked about community and discipleship, and that unity was at the core for both. Then for the morning worship service, the speaker was Dustin Galen. And he talked about our fears and how we deal with fears. And we actually had to share some of our fears. Some fears were people are scared of spiders and heights. But as he was speaking, he talked a little bit deeper than just kind of our average everyday fears. Did you guys know that fear fears community? He talked about fear, that community is so much bigger than fear. And when you're in community, we can conquer fears that people have. I also did my service project that Wednesday, and I went to a Habitat for Humanity Restore where I actually ran into Eldon Mast, and we took a selfie together, and that was very fun. I already started making connections on that first day, and that was great. There's probably about 12 to 13 of us who were in a group together, and we just had a lot of fun talking to each other, getting to know each other, but then also working alongside of each other. The evening worship service, Sue Parker, her was the speaker, and she challenged us about this ideal of a Mennonite that we may have. And so some words and some pictures that she associated with Mennonites are head coverings, quilts, and potlucks. That got a big round of applause. So she was talking about the ideals of Mennonites and how we kind of need to break those ideals, as Mennonites are may not be what they were a couple of years ago. We are ever growing, and many different people are joining in our folds. So Sue, coming from more of an Asian background, demonstrated the difference and how Mennonites aren't always what they may have looked like a couple years ago. We also talked about fear during her portion as well. And she pointed out that we were afraid of each other and that we are afraid of the future that we have together. And to make things worse, we're not always good about talking about our fears, together or separately. And we talked about peace, and we asked each other what peace is. What is peace? What is the definition of peace, and what does peace look like for the church in the future, and what does peace look like now? Sue shared a story about how her church, Mountain View Mennonite, sent their greetings to North Korea. Her husband was going to North Korea, and she thought it'd be really cool if her congregation sent peace to a church in North Korea, if that was even a possibility, which her husband did actually get the opportunity to do that. And it was received warmly, and they got a response. That story kind of stuck out to me, because it just shows how peace can be an action, but it can also be through words, as you can just say somebody, you know, peace be with you. And that transformed over miles. And this congregation that Sue is a part of was not entirely thrilled about sending their peace to North Korea, as North Korea is viewed to be a dangerous place. But they were eventually persuaded into it eventually, and peace was sent. Thursday's delegate session was focused on being gathered into one, so that this idea of unity again, unity of the spirit and the body. We talked about the different meanings of spirits and how spirits can be betrayed differently, such as spirit can be looked at as something as the wind. It can also be looked at as breath. So we kind of looked through the Bible and saw where spirit was used in different ways. But still, the main basis, you know, spirit, you can't always see it. You can feel it, you can see it acted out, but you can't physically see it. It's not something that you can actually hold. Then for the morning session, we had three different people share stories about where they saw the spirit or where they saw God moving. Abby King is a college student who I actually went to high school with. Don't know her very personally, but it was actually cool to hear her share her story. And she just shared a brief kind of testimony about how she found her place in the church, especially after she was thinking that she might not even want to be part of the church community. The next sharer, John Murray, shared a story about going to India and how he came face to face with local beggars and how he was challenged not to walk on the other side of the street, but to walk on the same side of the street where these beggars were and to look them in the face and see that they too were a child of God. As this was something he grappled with while he was there, because he realized his fear, he was scared of them. And he realized that when Jesus was on this earth, these were exactly the kind of people that Jesus would go up to. These are the kind of people that Jesus sought out to and to chase after and to bring them into the folds of God's community. Marissa Smucker was the last speaker. She talked about hearing God's voice and trusting when she did. So if you guys need a reminder for this morning, this message is for you. God hears you. And that was kind of the theme for that service that day. And that was a very powerful thing. I think a lot of people needed to hear that. So I was able to go to a seminar about children and church. And this was another way that I built community, why in Kansas City. It was mostly women at this seminar. And it was people just coming together. We were sharing ideas of how, you know, we bring children into the church, how we get children involved into church, and what that looks like. The seminar was about an hour long, and then afterwards, I actually met with some women from other churches just around the states, and they were from smaller congregations such as our own. And so we probably spent about 30 minutes talking together, sharing stories and sharing ideas. And that was a very meaningful time, as that's something I am passionate about, and I learned that why I've been at my internship here at church. And so to get ideas from these women and to share ideas, especially knowing that I may never see them again, was pretty powerful. Then for the evening delegate session, we had a speaker, Omar Egana, probably not saying his last name right, but he was a church planner and a missionary. And he talked about reconciliation. And it says when it comes to reconciliation, he simply put it, we got to do it because Jesus did it. And during these sessions, there was always open mic time and there was always table sharing as we were put into tables, which is pretty powerful. And I, being a non-official delegate, kind of had a special place in the back with other non-official delegates. And we were encouraged to stay in the same table groups every single time that we'd come to sessions. But since the non-delegates weren't official delegates, people kind of came and went as they pleased. So I was always talking to new people every day, which was interesting. But there were some people who I kind of built a little bit of a friendship with over the days, as we would either be at different tables or we would be at the same tables. Friday's delegate session, we looked at the statement of abuse for child migrants, and we talked about that, and I actually pulled up the statement. that we put online. So it says, Kansas City, Missouri, Mennonite Church USA delegates gave a standing ovation to the introduction of the church-wide statement on the abuse of child migrants resolution, which states that as disciples of Jesus, MCUSA condones the treatment of immigrants of families and children at the borders. Delegates were invited to discuss the draft informally and bring any questions to the resolutions committee. So we were actually handed the copy, which I should have brought with me this morning, but of the statement, and we went over it and talked about it and talked about how we felt about it, but there was great support for that as well. During this time, we also talked about humility and patience and the possibility of transforming community when we learn to put others before ourselves. As a church, we need to walk together, especially when times get hard. That is when we need community the most. The morning worship speaker was Megan Good, and she challenged us with the idea of breathing. She used a metaphor which I loved. Imagine that you're in a box with a handful of other people. The box has no holes or slits to let any clean air in. You're trapped in this box, breathing in everybody else's air. She said, that is what happens when we forget to breathe in God's air, when we're too focused on ourselves and we forget to put God into the equation. We're stuck together, just breathing in each other's air, not getting any clean air. As humans, we are created to breathe in God. We are fundamentally dependent beings, and we need God because God is the one who gives us air. Our last day was Saturday, and for that delegate session, we heard from a member of the Albany Mennonite Church about going to Tijuana, Mexico. They talked to border control and those who assisted refugees. And he told stories about their church going to Tijuana, Mexico, and they actually knew a pastor, I think, who was in the States, but then got deported to Mexico, where he actually ended up living on the streets. Luckily, though, he got in contact with resources in Mexico that helped him give him housing and to get a job so that he could support himself. But that is just one story of many people like him who have been sent back to Mexico and had to start a whole new life because their life was here. We sang some more songs from the new worship hymnal book, Voices Together. And in that final morning session, Glenn Guyton came to us with the title, Come As You Are, and this was our closing message for our time at convention. He challenged us with accepting people who are different from us. He challenged us with coming together as a church community and welcoming those on the outside to come in, and not so that we can transform them, but to welcome them as they are, for them to come in and say, we accept you, for as you are, please come. God is bigger than our differences. God is bigger, and God is enough. So as you can see, there was not really one main theme throughout this entire convention service. So that's one reason why I wanted to take notes, because I wanted to go back and see what really stuck out and what speakers kept on coming back to. And the three main things that were coming back to was peace, neighbors, and the Holy Spirit. These are the three words that I kept hearing throughout the week at convention. So some of the questions that I asked myself, what does being a neighbor mean? Who is my neighbors? And I came to the thought that our neighbors are people who live next door to us, obviously. Our neighbors are people who are sitting next to us this morning. Our neighbors are people who live on the street without food, clothing, or shelters. Our neighbors are any person that we come in contact with. And this may be somebody that we may never see again, but they are still our neighbors. And how do we assist our neighbors? This past week, I had the opportunity to be at Blossom Hills VBS and lead one of the crews. And the theme for the week was, who is my neighbor? So I assisted kids from the ages of 4th through 5th grade on what it meant to be a neighbor. How are you a neighbor? These kids brought in money throughout the week to help Meals on Wheels, and we raised over $100, and I think it equaled up to between 20 to 25 meals that we then raised money to pay for food for our neighbors. So I think that was a pretty important lesson for the kids. And they really enjoyed bringing their money, and then that's all they wanted to do in the evening was to put their money into the offering basket. So some other last-minute thoughts that I had just to kind of wrap things up is kind of this whole idea on neighbors. So when Jesus was on earth, he saw people who were struggling. He saw people who were on kind of the outside, who people didn't want to interact with. And I thought to myself, am I doing the same exact thing? Am I only staying within my safe community, people who I feel most comfortable with? How am I getting outside of that box? How am I being like Jesus in terms of going out to the edges of society, the edges of my community, where these people may not have a relationship with Christ or many relationships with many people because they are considered maybe, I don't know, unclean, unwealthy, people who honestly can scare you, that you don't really want to approach or you don't know how to approach. How am I helping them? How am I seeing them? How am I purposely putting myself in areas where I can interact with them? God gave us an amazing capability to love, to show love. And so my question today is, how are we using that love that he gave us to our fullest capacity? How are we loving our neighbors and those around us? Another thing that I learned is that when we meet God halfway out in the world, it transforms you. So my challenge for that week, and now the challenge that I want to pose to you guys, is let's go out into the world, let's meet some of our neighbors, and let's be transformed.